Good morning, everybody. It's good to be up here. It's been a little while for me. It's good to see you all. Thank you. Oh. All right. You guys like my outfit? Thanks. I don't get to wear this too often. I wore it for the install of Marquita. That was really nice. I've worn it at a few weddings, and I'm happy to wear it with you today. You know what? Hold on a second. Let me see. Let me see what you guys think of this. Yeah. Is this nice?
Yeah.
Is this a little better?
Yeah.
A little better or the same?
Same.
Same? It's a little bit better. It's better? It's actually Patagonia. It's not better, it's Patagonia. Okay. Almost there.
Almost.
Is that nice?
Yeah,
it's nice.
Thank
you. Oh. Oh. Yeah. I love this church. You guys are so kind.
So when you got the blues, you turned to God, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you, Gene. Yes. I had the blues. So, who thinks it's nicer to have a collared shirt on while wearing a stole? Okay. And how many of you think, it's fine either way? Eh.
It is nicer.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
It is nicer, but you don't mind.
Nope.
Okay, fair enough. That's good.
At least a shirt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, no shirt.
Should we try?
Hold on. No. How about my shoes? Maybe no shoes? See what I know. Okay.
No service.
Yeah. Yeah, it's too cold today. Yeah. Actually, if I wasn't nervous, I'd probably be really cold, but I'm kind of like sweating right now. So I'm actually not that nervous, but so it's just funny. All right. How about Democrats? Democrats on this side, Republicans on this side? Do you guys want to do that?
No?
No, 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 no. No. Back. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Okay, okay. Okay. Oh, man. Nobody wants to go there. No. That's fine, that's fine. You don't want my dad up here preaching, I tell you that. He would just go, woo, woo, woo. Yeah, he does. That's right. So we're going through Galatians, and Paul, he gets a little offensive, points at a few people, and mainly it'd be two groups of people, the Jew Christians, and just the Christians, just the brand new saved by grace Christians. And it does remind me a little bit of, you know, do we like the collared shirt, right? That'd be like the Jew Christians, like definitely like have nice clothes on if you're preaching. Otherwise, you know, it's not okay. It's not respectable. The Lord is going to frown on that, you know, sort of thing. And then the new Christians are like the Jesus movement. And just bear with the analogy, okay? It'd be like, Robin, were you there for the Calvary Chapel movement a little bit?
I was after that, but I think it's a story.
Okay. So I've asked Robin to share a story with you all that might give us a little insight as to the two sides of this thing that is in our day.
Yeah.
Okay,
well,
but...
Chapel, And then there were some, you know, elders in the church that were really upset about it and told Pastor Chuck that they're coming in barefoot and they're putting their feet up on the pews. And, we don't like it. Yeah, there's a problem there. And Pastor Chuck's answer to that was, if they're coming in barefoot and you're worried about the carpet, we need to rip the carpet.
How cool is that? If you have a problem with the carpet getting dirty, we're going to rip up the carpet. Because it's not worth turning these souls away that want Jesus, that want freedom, and here you are denying them of that. That's basically kind of what the Galatians problem was, okay? But I think it was a little more heated than that. I think it was more like political, cultural for the Jews to be comfortable with their circumcision. And for these new people to come in, it was just a little more heated. It was a little more like, are you Republican or what? Because we can't sit at the same table, okay? We cannot eat and drink wine together. That's how I think it felt.
I'll go back over
to Oh, that's so good. That's so good. Yes. I love it. Like Brad and I were talking a little, it's like if Thomas Jefferson showed up and said to Congress, look, you guys all need to sit down and shut up. You're all off, okay? This is not what I wrote this for, you know? It'd be like that, like boom. And Paul shows up and he's like, boom. And he's very like pointed and also kind of emotional. And he reminds me a lot of my dad, who is a big guy, and he can probably knock all of us out with one punch, okay? But as a kid, I grew up with my dad, and I was terrified of my dad. And sometimes he would just, for fun, like shadow box in front of me, like really close to me. And he was a semi-professional boxer. So he actually knows how to put his whole body weight into a hit. And he would just kind of, just for fun, okay? Like, he never hit me. Like, I was too fast. No. You know, But never want to let that guy hit you. But I was talking to my dad, and I remember I asked him, Dad, do you remember all those lectures you gave me as a kid? And he's like, well, yeah. I remember, like, which one? I mean, I talked a lot, you know? And my dad, okay, would just go off about something like, okay, you don't replace the toilet paper? Well, this is why. Do you want someone coming into your house and not replacing the toilet paper? Okay, it'd be like, do you want someone coming into your house, drinking all your milk, and then not leaving $5 for you to buy new milk? And he would just go on and on and on, and like 3 or 4 different metaphors, no kidding. And there would be some about sex or drugs, which were a little more meaningful. But even those, he would end up with some metaphor. You're like, Dad, what? Like, and then at the end of it, he's all, well, why'd you get me all worked up? Like, you know? Really, my dad had just, you guys, you got to tell me. Okay. That's totally my dad, okay? And I wish my sister was here to tell you all, like, she could go and go and go and almost word for word remember what he said on some things. And at the end of it, the funny thing is that he would just, he'd be like, so my point was to just do what you would have someone do to you. Like, well, thanks. Yeah, I could have done well with just that, right? And then I asked my dad, I'm like, Dad, what was up with those? He's like, well, I had to tell you about 4 or 5 different ways because I didn't believe you would ever change and I didn't think you were listening to me. And he said that, like, he just didn't think it was getting anywhere, you know? And he didn't think it was going to change me. So he just drilled me and drilled me and drilled me. And it's... I guess, like, what I remember was his passion to see us act right, you know? And he might have said a few things that were wrong, or, you know what Adam used to tell me? It's like, growing up with my dad, and I can say all this. I got my dad's permission, which is really cool, actually. My dad said, you know what, Bronson, you could tell him anything you want. He's like, I love you. He's like, I'm so proud of you. And just, that's cool, right? You just go ahead and tell him anything. Hopefully it's good, but even if it's not, I don't care, you know? He's just like, he doesn't care who he offends. He's got his opinion, and he's darn well convinced that he's convinced. That's my dad. And he's got a big, huge heart, okay? And so what I remember was his big heart, and I remember him just going off because he wanted me to get it. You know, he really wanted me to get it, and he didn't want me to miss out. And one of the rants, this is kind of funny, was like changing the oil. Well, how do you not know how to change the oil? Haven't you been living with me for 15 years? Like, you know, I change the oil, right? I do transmission, I change the brakes, I do tires. I mean, you've been watching me. You used to stand there. Like, don't you remember? Man, could you imagine if you're an adult and you have your kid and blah, blah, you know, and it just like goes and it's like, oh my gosh, Dad, I don't remember how to change the oil. I didn't care. Like, I was listening to, you know, whatever, some good band or whatever. Like, you know, I would be zoning out on a band and he'd be changing the oil. I'm like, yeah, Dad, I got it. Here's your tool. You know, what size was that tool? I don't remember. Like, you know, just, so that's just fun. But as I read through Galatians, I really see my dad in Paul, okay? I see this guy who's so darn passionate. He doesn't care if he steps on any toes. And he doesn't care if the elders are offended. He's like, you know what? No, we're going to rip up this darn carpet. And he probably said, damn, you know? Because he goes, damn you Galatians, you fools. And he just goes off. And the heart of this guy is right, okay? He's so right. And it's funny, the way that Adam used to say it was, no. It'd be like, if we get new Christians in here, right? And we're all, you don't drink coffee? You can't come here. You don't drink coffee. You don't drink coffee. Wow. You're not saved until you drink some J. Abel coffee, you know? So, we can't say that, right? Adam used to tell me, Bronson, sometimes living with your dad is like eating meat and you got to spit out the bones. You get this chicken, this nice chicken or salmon, and you chew it up because it's good. The meat of it is good. Your dad has truth, right? But there's some bones in there that you just got to spit out, okay? And that really helped me out. And I'm not saying that about Paul exactly. I'm just saying that Paul is so passionate, and he goes, and he might step on some toes. And that rhymed. Right, Chief? Yeah. So we got this guy, Paul, who is like, he's like my dad. Like, you almost don't want him up here. Like, he just is a bull in a china shop. Like, boom, 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 boom. Like, don't put this here.
Put a bull in a china shop and knock anything over. That
all right, that's fine. That's pretty. Yeah, Mythbusters. You gotta love it. All right, well, we'll say that before Mythbusters, you put a bull in a china shop. And it's kind of like my dad, okay? And so Paul's got these two groups, right? He's got these Jew Christians who are supporting the old law and trying to get these grown men circumcised before anesthesia and scalpels, okay? It's not fun. Definitely not stainless steel back then. Probably not any alloys at all for metal. Anyway. And Paul comes into the scene, and he just goes, boom, 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 you fools. And he pushes these guys down, the guys who were on the collared shirt side of the fence, you know. He's like, nope, be humble, right? And then to the new guys, he's like, nope, you're free. Don't shy away. Like, this is true, right? So he's hitting these guys, he's lifting these guys up, and then he kind of levels them all out, and then he starts teaching them. And that's kind of where we are, chapter 5. Paul's heart is huge. So if you can turn to Actually, I'm going to read a little bit of the first chapter as well. So Galatians 1. We've been going through this, and it's been a lot of fun, and I think we've been doing really well. And I just wanted to get a running start at chapter 5, because I didn't think you all were reading Galatians this morning, so maybe you weren't, like, right where I am. So, all right, here we go. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel of heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, now so I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to that which you received, let him be accursed. Am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still pleasing men, I should not be a servant of Christ. It's kind of a poke at these guys, because they want to please their other Jews. For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not man's gospel, for I did not receive it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born... By the way, this is RSV. I picked a bad place to say that, but... 15, thank you. But when he who had set me apart before I was born and had called me through his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away to Arabia, and again I returned to Damascus. He's like so convinced, like, no, I received it from Christ. I didn't ask those guys permission, or I didn't ask them, like, is it... He's just so convinced. No, you don't need those guys telling you what to do. It's you and Christ, just like it was me and Christ. Now I'm going to go back down a little bit. Chapter 2. I'm just going to keep going. 18. Yeah. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother, in what I am writing to you before God. Oh, yeah, sorry. I do not lie. There we go. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still not known by sight to the churches of Christ in Judea. They only heard it said, he who once persecuted us is now preaching the faith who once tried to destroy it. And they glorified God because of me. Chapter 2. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me. I went up by revelation, and I laid before them, but privately before those who were of repute, the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, lest somehow I should be running or had run in vain. He's talking about Acts 15 there. But even, which I think we looked at, didn't we, a couple weeks ago? Yeah. But even Titus, who was with me, was not compelled to be circumcised, though he was a Greek. But because of false brethren secretly brought in, who slipped in to spy out our freedom, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to them, we did not yield submission, even for a moment, that the truth of the gospel might be preserved in you. The truth of the gospel there is the faith in Jesus is your righteousness. That's your justice. That's it. Period. And from those who were reputed to be something, what they were makes no difference to me. God shows no partiality. It's like, okay, there's my dad. Big time. Like, My dad's the guy who finds the line after he crosses it. Like, oh, that offended you? Like, oh, I guess I shouldn't, you know, it's like after the fact. It's like, okay. That's Paul, like a little bit, I think, talking about the apostles. It's like, okay. Those I say who were of repute added nothing to me, but on the contrary, when they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been entrusted with the gospel to the circumcised. For he who worked through Peter for the mission of to the circumcised worked through me also for the Gentiles. So do you get this? The circumcised people are the people who are a little more proper, and they want their culture. They want new Christians to be circumcised, right? Because they had to be circumcised. They have their line of heritage with the righteousness of the law. And then the Gentiles come in, and they don't have that. They don't have that history. And they're kind of like, no, this isn't fair. Like, you're not wearing shoes. You don't get it. You're not righteous. You can't come into our church and dirty up the carpet. Okay, I'm going to skip down a little bit. Verse 11. Chapter 2, verse 11, yeah. But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face, because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he ate with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. And with him, the rest of the Jews acted insincerely, so that even Barnabas was carried away by their insincerity. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth and of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews? We ourselves, who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, yet who know that a man is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ in order to be justified by faith in Christ, and not by works of law. Because by works of the law, no one shall be justified. But if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we ourselves are found to be sinners, is Christ then an agent of sin? Certainly not. But if I build up again those things which I tore down, then I prove myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, died to the law, that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's my favorite verse, by the way, in this book. That he loved me and he gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if justification were through the law, then Christ died to no purpose. And then he goes, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? It's like my dad, like, he's got this great line, and then he just keeps going, and it's great. And Paul is so passionate. So now we can go to chapter 5. Paul's heart is huge. He isn't afraid of people. He is convinced that he's convinced. And the thing that he fights for is God's heart for us to be free. Since the beginning of the Bible, really, God has been a God of freedom. Yahweh, right? He freed them from the Egyptians. Like, from the very beginning, he's like, I want you liberated. I want my people liberated. That's at God's heart. That's so at the core of who God is since the beginning. He's not a God of slavery. He's a God of freedom.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, I'm going to read chapter 5 all the way through, but first I just want to say, Paul was knocked off his donkey, right? And blinded. And he called that the grace of God. he has this incredible testimony, right? And oftentimes we meet Christians who are a little like passionate, a lot passionate. Okay, they've got a story. Like they've got a redemption that's so powerful that probably that shook their whole world. That's Paul, right? And that's my dad. Like he's got all this heart and stuff, and he had a really tough thing happen when he was a kid. Like it makes sense that he doesn't care what people say, because people told him his dad died because he cared too much about what people say. Imagine that as a kid. Oh, your dad died because he cared too much about other people. So my dad's like, I don't give a rip about what people say. I'm going to say what I know to be true, and that's the end of it, okay? But Paul's heart is that Paul has been set free from the law, right? Paul was a Pharisee. He was a good Pharisee. He was going to disrupt this new movement, and he got knocked off his butt. And he's like, that's the grace of God. He goes, I was set free the day that I was blinded. And I was set free the day I got knocked off my high horse. And that's who is writing this letter. He knows the freedom. Paul didn't forget that his sins were cleansed. Like that First Peter verse today. It's like, you guys, I am like those Jew Christians. Like, I know that the law can't save you. I was freed from the law. And to the Gentiles, he goes, you guys are doing fine. You're not missing out on anything. You're saved, okay? I kind of want some more coffee. If anybody wants to go. Yeah, I'm a little parched. Thanks. Black, yeah, please. Thank you. Yeah. The only way with Jay?
Yeah.
Intermission. Thanks. See you, Jean. Okay. Thank you. Yeah, I did. Resumed. What?
When I was out there, I heard you laughing. I thought you were talking about
it. Oh, yeah, okay. Gotcha. They were talking about Paul behind his back, so it kind of fits with today a little bit.
Not Paul.
Yeah. Another thing my dad and Paul have in common, okay? My dad's a whistleblower, right? He's not going to put up with any of this lies, any gossip. My dad's like, nope, you're lying, you made this thing up about me. No joke. My dad, actually right now, my dad is going through stuff at this company because he did not put up with something, right? And politically, he should have just kept quiet, but he's not that way, right? He's not that way. Paul is so not that way. All right, here we go, chapter 5. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Don't try to be justified by the law, he says. Now I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is bound to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is of any avail, but faith working through love. That's like Thomas Jefferson. Like, look, you guys are both Americans. Just be kind, okay? We got to keep this thing going, right? For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is of any avail, but faith working through love. You want religion? Love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who called you. A little yeast leavens the whole lump. I have confidence
in the Lord that you will take no other view than mine. Yeah, that's my dad again. And he who is troubling you will bear his judgment, whoever he is. But if I, brethren, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the stumbling block of the Christ has been removed. I wish those who unsettled you would mutilate themselves. It's like, whoa, I guess I found the line, you know? For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love be servants of one another. It's funny, he's like, you want freedom? Serve each other. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you are not consumed by one another. It's like my dad, like, stop arguing with each other. Just be nice, okay? Just be nice. It's like, okay, Dad. Like, wow. If you bite one another, be careful not to consume one another. Okay, Paul. But I say, walk by the Spirit and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are plain: immorality, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, selfishness, dissension, party spirit, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. See there, slavery. Under all that, yoke of slavery, sin, a slave to sin. That's that. I warn you as I warned you before that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us have no selfish conceit, provoking one another, nor envy of one another. He says, if you want to fulfill the law, follow the Holy Spirit. Abide in him. I hear Jesus saying, come to me. Come to me. No, don't go there. Come to me. All the law, everything, all the freedom you need, all the righteousness is in me. Come to me and you will be free. Right? Matthew 11. Actually, I'm going to read that. Paul says, you have the Spirit inside of you. Abide by that Spirit. Sow righteousness and reap freedom. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Isn't that just like water to your soul? Like, oh. Paul keeps beating these guys, both of them, and then it's like, okay, Paul, like, what do we do? What do we do? Okay, like, you got it. Like, okay. Okay, I think I know what you're saying. What do you want me to do? And he says, live by the Spirit. Abide in Christ. Sow seeds of righteousness. Be kind to one another for God's sakes. You're all on the same side here. So freedom is not just lack of accountability. Michael Scott from The Office he says, he says to his boss, David, it was my understanding that I wasn't going to be managed. Truth be told, David, I thrive under lack of accountability. He said, and that's not what freedom from the law means for us, okay? It does not mean we just don't have to abide by any law. It's like, no, we need to seek the Lord, abide in him, and do righteous things, right? I love Michael Scott. It's so funny. Oh my gosh. And Dwight Schrute, on the other hand, says that freedom is plowing my acres of land and walking all day with my shirt off. That's just completely humorous. That's not theological at all. So, that's the office again. So at the end of it all, the big rant, right? Paul goes, the only yoke you need is Christ. The only yoke a Christian should bear is that of Christ. That's it. It's simple. It's so simple. Carry that yoke and make sure you are not putting something on the other person. Don't put a yoke that's not Christ on one another. And that's what God says to us today. Look at our chairs. We've got empty chairs, you guys. When new Christians come, we can't put yokes on them. They don't need anything except for Christ. That's our job. That's it. Are you carrying the yoke of Christ today? What does your walk look like? Are you carrying something and it's bearing you down? Or is it light? Is it Christ's yoke? Is it Christ's yoke? He gives us freedom. Freedom for the soul. Not just freedom for our personal gain or freedom for our personal gain. Like, it's not just to have our life in order or in earthly terms. That's not what the freedom is. The freedom is for our soul. The freedom isn't of this world. Like, Jesus didn't preach 401k, and he didn't. He just preached, you'll be fine. Trust in me and abide in me. That's it. That's me ranting a little. Do we lift the yokes off one another? Do we blow the whistle? The gospel of Christ is good news. Christ came to set us free. Isaiah 61, and we'll end with this. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. This is what Jesus said, by the way. Because the Lord has anointed me to bring good tidings to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Amen. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we ask that you would set us right today. We may squirm, we may be offended, but we want your yoke. Lord, we want to live by the Spirit. We want the fruits of the Spirit blooming in our lives. We want to be free, God. And we believe you that that's what you want too. May we trust in you more. May we look like you more. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.